face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now, and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.
B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And Brandon Hyde, the manager, is coming out. There aren't many fans here today, and most of them are back in shaded areas. But a lot of them are starting to rise up because that was a brilliant pitching performance. Red Sox didn't have a hit against them until the seventh inning. Well, you'd have to say he deserves a louder ovation and more fans than that for this effort, but those down the dugout steps, just outstanding today.
Hour number two, Zolak and Bertrand. Matt McCarthy in for Hardy today. Did the Red Sox season die yesterday? It may have.
Yeah, I think it did.
I think it may have.
I thought it died last week. I had them dead last week.
Yeah, sort of early because they still had plenty of chances.
Yeah, but they can't make up any ground on anybody.
Well, if they'd swept the Orioles this weekend, you might be feeling a little differently about things. But instead, they go down there and they just
good response by Price, by
a giant egg in Baltimore, including yesterday, where they get absolutely shut down. And I can't say the pitcher's name. I can't remember how to say it. How do you say it?
I have no idea.
How do we say his name?
I don't know.
Dave O'Brien?
How sad is this?
How do we say his name again?
Wojciechowski something.
I listened to it over and over and over again last night because I'm like, I want to get this guy's name, this journeyman that honestly felt at times yesterday before Devers had the double off the top of the wall, which I thought was a home run at first, but it wasn't. Hit off the top of that silly padding they've got out there in right center. Before that happened, I thought this guy's going to throw a perfect game, isn't he? He's going to throw a perfect game against the Red Sox. It felt it was going to go that way. It felt like that was going to be it. But anyway, the Red Sox lose to the Orioles yesterday. And, well, it just feels like things are really not going well for this team. And you've got Castro on the mound yesterday, who in his second start sucks again. That was acquisition number one here before the deadline. That ain't working out. That's turning out to be nothing. Of course, goes on a little bit of a run. They acquire him. He turns back into a pumpkin. He blows.
He turns back into Andrew Cashman.
He turns back into who he is.
Yep.
Oh, awesome.
Did you see the comment? Did you hear about the comments from him? So they acquire this guy too, and then like he doesn't want to cut his hair, but he wanted to go to a team that was going to allow him to keep his hair, or else he was going to threaten to retire.
Oh, he's got his priorities straight.
This like add another a-hole to the mix.
What is that? Threatening to retire. If someone told me I had to cut my hair, I was going to retire?
Yeah. Cut your hair, or you're not going to make it. Or what do you want? You want to not cut your hair and don't make the money? Or you want to make the money? Make the money.
It's because he was on the Mattingly Marlins, and Mattingly has that rule from Torrey in his days in New York.
That's when Johnny Damon had to cut his hair. Remember, he cut it right away. Sure, I'll do that.
His salary is what, $7 million a year?
Right. Yeah.
And he's going to just quit?
Guy gets paid very handsomely to play baseball, and he's going to quit because they want him to shave his beard. What a clown.
I mean, oh my God.
Quit baseball.
What are we doing here?
Slovenly.
What the hell?
What a clown.
He had to put a beard clause in. What a joke. Anyway, yeah, well, here's what I would prefer. Keep the beard, keep the hair, just pitch, and pitch well. And so far, that hasn't been the case for Andrew Cashner, newest addition to the Red Sox. So they sucked over the weekend. David Price, we'll get to him. But don't worry. We'll get to him. Going forward, Red Sox have 3 at Tampa Bay, 4 at home against New York, 3 more with Tampa Bay at Fenway, and then they go back on the road at New York. Their next 4 series consist of 2 teams, Tampa Bay and New York, all within the division. How's this going to go for the Boston Red Sox?
You go 500, you're dead.
Dead.
Dead in water.
Unacceptable. You
got to play 80% baseball.
You got to play 800 ball here.
You got to play 800 ball.
You've got the 2 teams ahead of you in the division with the Rays and the Yankees ahead of you for the next, what is it?
2 weeks.
Yeah. All the way through August 4th. Now through August 4th, you've got head-to-head games with the 2 teams in front of you in the division.
It's kind of nice to know that, though.
What the hell are you going to do with it, Boston? What are you going to do with it?
I mean, it's nice to know that you might be able to make a decision before that trade deadline hits and say, okay, we're dead.
That's a week away.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, but you might know it. You get your ass swept in the first 5. You're like, we're done. It's over. Over.
Right. You go.
Sell.
You go.
Martinez, sell.
You go 3-4, 2-5 over
you
this
You take
next
calls
week.
On bets. Yes.
Yep.
You take
sell.
Calls on bets. If your pitchers can't perform, you're going to take calls on Mookie Betts.
13 games all against those teams. The next 13 against those 2 teams. Do you have a spine? Are you going to respond? Are you going to do something here? Or are you going to
shut spine,
it down? If you have a
spine, respond Friday.
Are you going to shut it down and go away?
You would respond in Baltimore against a lowly, 31-win
Orioles?
They've
sort of had their backs against the wall already, right? They've already needed to sort of have a response. And in short spurts, they have. This is it.
Yeah, they've won like 2 in a row, and then all of a sudden you'll have a catcher or somebody say, you know, we're back. Red Sox are back. Who was it? Wasn't it Vasquez?
After they swept the Orioles, a month ago?
Yeah.
A month and a half ago?
Were they back?
No, you're not back. You're 3 out of the second wild card spot. You're a 7th place team. That's what you are. You're a 7th place team. You've been a 7th place team all year long. At what point are we supposed to say that this is going to get better? That you're going to be a 5th place team when you've been a 7th place team all year long? The timing of this schedule, guys, couldn't work out any better, because if they go 2-5 over this next week, it's as clear as day. You sell at the deadline, because you're not recovering from that.
All right, more at the deadline. What do the Red Sox do at the deadline, and how does this next week sort of play into that, and what will they be willing to sell at the deadline if they do become sellers? And the latest rumors, including one that makes no sense to some people, might make sense if you think about it long enough. That'd be Jose Abreu. Jose Abreu to the Red Sox. That is one of the rumors that is out there. Do you buy that or not? We'll get to that coming up next.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Barnes takes one from Vasquez and a 2-2. High fly ball deep left field, and forget about this one. It is totally out of the ballpark.
Oh, my God.
Jose Abreu on the 10th pitch of the at-bat has given the White Sox an 8-7 lead.
I mean, to tell you, what an at-bat by Abreu. What a shocker.
Wow.
All right, Jose Abreu is a guy who has been linked to the Red Sox going all the way back to when he came out of Cuba. They've liked him forever. Good player. He's had a couple of down years by his standards offensively. He's dipped a little bit here in the last couple of seasons. He's going into free agency. He's a rental player here as we approach the deadline. And he's been linked to the Red Sox in a trade rumor in the last couple of days, which immediately you say, wait, why? First of all, if they're not going over the tax, how do they fit the guy? Okay, where does he fit into their equations, monetarily speaking? That doesn't make a lot of sense. His salary at $16 million for this year doesn't seem to really fit what they're doing, right? So that's like, what?
Yeah.
$16 million player. That's not what they're looking for. So how does that make any sense? Unless they need to pick up a cheap rental player and they are scouting a guy like Jose Abreu, who they've liked for a long time, because they're looking to replace a bat that they move to pick up more valuable pieces to help their roster in other spots.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
That would mean, if it's real, right? The room, listen, there's a lot of lying that goes on. I had to trade deadlines in every sport, right? Lies. Lies, lies, lies. It could be complete bullcrap. It's all bogus. And someone threw this out there and it's just not all that informed. Or it could be real and it means that the Red Sox are considering doing something pretty drastic with their roster. And that would mean moving someone as significant as Mookie Betts.
Yeah, or JD.
Because I look at it, again, that positions don't match up. But what I'm saying is,
they got to make it. I mean,
they could be in a spot where they say, we just traded away. Now, JD, I don't think so, because JD is in the same category. He can opt out at the end of the year and go wherever he wants. And so he's not as valuable on the trade market. Mookie Betts is worth something.
Unless you got good information that Betts doesn't want to play.
Work with me.
Yeah.
You want to trade Mookie Betts. He's worth prospects. He's worth relief pitchers. He's worth a starter, whatever it might be. Things that you can help your team now and later with.
Stuff that you've depleted, right? He could help you replenish things you have depleted.
You could do a little bit of everything with a trade of Mookie Betts, couldn't you?
Yes.
And in the meantime, you say, but wait, we just restocked our bullpen in the process of doing that Betts deal. And we also, got some prospects along the way. We got bullpen help. And we, maybe, who knows what you get. But you're helping your team now and later in a deal because you got a good haul for Mookie Betts. But now we just lost a bat in our lineup, and now we've got to make up for the bat that we just lost because we're still trying to win right now in the here and now. Well, we got to turn around and go get a bat somewhere else. We got to get a rental for the here and now.
We got to sustain and be competitive.
We got to turn around and go get a guy like Jose Abreu. And that's why they're looking at a guy like Jose Abreu. They could, and maybe I'm giving them more credit than they deserve. They could be trying to get super creative here and do something very dramatic and very drastic in terms of overhauling their roster that they look at and say, we really want to jumpstart this thing. And we believe in this team, but we believe that it's not going anywhere unless we get
this
thing.
It's tough to win back to back. It's hard to do. It's hard to beat repeat, especially in that sport, but you're just coming off winning a world title. Okay. We got that in our back pocket again. We got another ring. Isn't it Dombrowski's job to look at every single scenario, to plan ahead? Like, we got done talking about Danny Ainge. Danny talked about plan A. Really, was that really your plan A? Or does that really plan A once the draft was over? I think there's timelines with things. And as things have trended here, we got a dead-ass team right now. We got dead-ass pitching. We don't have a bullpen. We don't have a closer. I don't know how long you can sustain that.
If you want to buy at the deadline, if you still feel like there's a chance to build a winner here, I've felt for a long time that they need a Nomar Garciaparra type of shakeup. And this Beetle would be that type of trade. Whether or not it's Mookie Betts, whether it's bringing in Jose Abreu and trading, I don't know, Rick Porcello or doing something. The thing is, if they're going to get Abreu, somebody else has to go. They're not going over that tax.
But even Betts, from a fan reaction standpoint, I don't think people would be losing their minds, like absolutely losing their minds, because you just won. There's people who like Mookie. I don't know how loved they are with Mookie. We all know he's a great player, but if the guy doesn't want to be here and he's going to make bank, and you're going to be out, and he wants to bounce, then you got to get something for him.
I think you can sell Red Sox fans on restocking the farm system, getting starting pitching prospects for Mookie Betts, and then going out and getting Jose Abreu. I think you can sell the fans on that. If you just trade Mookie Betts,
it would be wild, is what it would be.
It'd be wild. No question. It would be wild.
But is Dave Dombrowski
trading an MVP?
but that's what I think.
The fan base wouldn't freak.
I say, because you see it on the surface and you say, Jose Abreu, that makes no sense. And then you say, let's assume it's true. Why and how would it be true? This is how it could be true. Because they are really planning for something dramatic.
They do need a first baseman, though. I don't think it's totally...
Yeah, but it's not Jose Abreu. Because don't tell me, Steve Pierce is hurt, and then they're down to a Mitch Moreland situation that he's been dealing with injuries this year. And they got to add a first baseman? No, this is not how this works.
Right, and somebody else has to go. The money does not match up.
It's the money. You got to look at this money and say, no, this is not just that. You can't look at that on the surface and say it's just because of their first base situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll go find a cheaper option.
right.
Another right-handed bat. You can find that.
A $16 million a year guy who they've liked for a long time. In fact, if they bring him in, I would think that if they brought him here, they'd make an effort to re-sign him because they like him so much.
Yes. Now, he's 32 years old, or so they say, because you never really know. So I'd kind of question the wisdom of that. But if to your point, Beetle, if they're getting Abreu, something else is happening. I don't necessarily buy this, though. I think this is a smokescreen coming out of Chicago. Phil Rogers is a longtime baseball writer there. I think this is the White Sox trying to drum up attention elsewhere. But to your point, Beetle, if they get him, something else has to happen.
Might You're be totally total right. crap. Might be total crap and just, you know, someone trying to drum something up.
Right.
But if it's true, it could mean something crazy is going on.
Is Dave Dombrowski the type of general manager who'd make that big a shakeup? Because that's Theo's MO. Theo Epstein would do this. Dave Dombrowski, he built this team. He's got an ego about the team that he built. Would he shake it up just like this? Or are they going to continue to put their heads in the sand and say, we should be better and things will turn around?
I'm trying to think. I'm trying to think of the deals that he did when he was in Detroit. Some of the bigger ones. What was the deal that he did? He did the Miguel Cabrera trade.
Yep. Traded for David Price.
Traded for Price. He's done some big ones. Scherzer's deal.
Yep.
The Scherzer trade.
But all of those were adding to the team. There was almost never a subtraction element. Except for Rick Porcello. Well, that was an offseason trade, too. That wasn't in-season.
Well, he dumped Prince Fielder.
Yep.
That's one where he subtracted. You know, he signed Fielder.
Sure.
And he took, you know, took some crap. He had a take on some of that money when he traded away Prince Fielder. And then he got, what did he take it back? Ian Kinsler was what went back to Detroit in that deal. So there's that. I don't know. Like that, Mookie Betts trading the league's MVP? No, I don't remember. Yeah. I don't recall him doing anything like that. The other thing is, I still want to know the contract status of Dave Dombrowski and how much he gives a damn about the future.
It's fair.
Now, John Henry said in spring training that he'd like to see Dave Dombrowski get a contract renewed.
Because if he does care, then the trade is in play.
What's the status of his contract?
You do anything to make your team better for the long haul, right? Or is this guy just, he's short-term win now at all costs? And if he does care, you need to replenish that cupboard. I mean, that's on the table.
Okay, but
how does he not take calls on that?
Look at the situation he left the Tigers in. I mean,
I mean, this would be so outside the box for him.
Yeah. It goes against everything we know about Dave Dombrowski.
And
he
doesn't
build for the future.
At some point, doesn't ownership have to give their 2 cents in direction to Dave Dombrowski?
Yes.
At some point, you got to put it back on the owners.
Yeah, and I mean, the ownership's one stepped in and said, hey, we're going to get the Chris Sale thing done, too. So, there's mistakes that are made on both sides.
Dave in Warwick on Mookie Betts. Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey,
I'm just calling. I know somebody that knows Mookie personally. I know it's one of those calls.
I know, but go ahead.
Yeah, okay.
Well, what do you got?
I know he doesn't want to be in this area. He wants to go back closer to Tennessee. So I've heard
they have good baseball
talks of Atlanta, things like that. So I would hate to trade Mookie. I think he's a great player, obviously. But if he's not going to stick around anyway, you know, money obviously talks. But if he really wants to be closer to home, then I say make the trade while you still have value there.
Okay, well, even that stuff aside, his desires, how about the fact that he goes up and down season to season, that we're riding the Mookie Betts roller coaster? Now, granted, his down years are not down years by most players' standards. His down years are still pretty good. But it is a Mookie roller coaster that we ride here.
Yeah.
You know, what's he batting, like 285? Yeah. Like, down years are 285.
Right.
More than acceptable.
We're talking $400 million.
But it's not $400 million type of player money.
No.
Which is a crazy, absurd number.
Right, right,
anyway.
Right. But I mean, we've talked about this before.
But if you're trying to figure out what to pay this player and offer this player, and you're talking about these $330 million, $350 million deals, the numbers that get tossed around for Mookie Betts, last year you were with that type of guy, but you've got to be that sort of player every single year to get that type of money. And he hasn't been that player every single year. He's a great player. I mean, I love to watch him. Who doesn't? But it's up and down.
Yeah.
He's not that. The player he was last year is not who he is every single year.
I don't think people would lose their minds based on what you get in return. I think people draw a line with the money angle of it. Like, they get pissed at how much these guys are making, and especially a guy like Chris Sale. And you see hear all the critics and people killing them for signing him to that type of money. And then you always take the money and the value of the contract and equate it to the player.
He's great in the even years.
Nobody wants to pay him $40 million.
He was unbelievable. Yep. 2018, he was unbelievable. Yeah. 2017, 2019, pretty good. I mean, really good player.
I mean, it's Boston. Really good player. You don't want to be in Boston.
The guy's building a Hall of Fame resume. Don't get me wrong. But if we're talking dollars, it's a hard one to pin. It really is. It's a hard one. Hard one to figure out right now where that exactly falls.
This is not a $375 million season, which is probably where his market was.
No, it's like a $250 million season.
Or $300, Manny Machado.
Right, which is still fabulous.
Yeah.
It's still, again, Hall of Fame worthy, which is what he's building right now. He's still on track to be a Hall of Fame player. But that money conversation could get uncomfortable at some point. 617-779-0985. Eck. Back at it with David Price last week. I feel for David Price. You heard me right. I feel for David Price because I think he blew a major, major opportunity last week. David Price could have buried Dennis Eckersley, and he didn't. He swung, and he missed. Unlike the batters he faced in Baltimore, because those guys were hitting the ball all over the place. We'll get to that coming up next.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
So David Price got shelled over the weekend. Surprised by that at all?
No. We're rooting for it.
Not good. Not good for David after everything that happened with his buddy there, Dennis Eckersley, last week. I missed all of this, unfortunately.
Sure
I missed all that. It's too bad. He went four innings, allowed six runs, all of them earned, gave up a couple of home runs, eight hits. Not a good outing for him. Not good, is what I would say.
Huh. Not good against a bad team, huh?
Not good against one of the worst teams in baseball.
You would think you're going to run your mouth and hold court. You'd kind of show up first time out, right?
Yeah, after I mean, that. I don't know
be
how
good,
much
it'd be good for you.
I don't know how much the two are connected.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how much they're connected, but it's just bad timing, is what I would say. It's bad timing for David Price.
Bad attention, bad publicity,
to
bad everything for the team.
The bad week that he had, and then have that outing, is what I would say.
Yeah.
You know, I thought David Price really missed a major opportunity last week. Major, major opportunity. One, you know how I feel about Dennis Eckersley.
Yeah.
I love the guy.
Yeah.
I love him. Been saying for years that Nessa needs to write him that blank check for however much money it takes to get him to do every game.
Right.
Blank check. Have him call. Have him tell them the number. No matter what that number is, you pay it.
Yeah.
But his quote in the Globe piece, the Globe magazine piece that Chad Finn did, when you first read it, what did you think of the quote?
Eckersley's quote?
Yeah.
Oh, that, hey, I'm not going to talk about this. He's not going to talk about it. I'm never going to see him again. I really don't care. He doesn't care. That I thought, you know, dead issue.
I think that quote has been played up as a throwaway quote, and the quote is, I didn't know how to deal with that. I don't plan on saying a word to him. I don't plan on seeing him. Never. I don't really give a bleep one way or another. I don't think he really cares one way or another.
Well, he's wrong, because David does care.
The I don't really give a bleep one way or another. When you read that in print,
It's different than if you and I were having that conversation. Like we talked about something. Like, so what'd you think about this?
Like, it's like a tweet, yeah, or an email, and it has no context, no context and no tone.
Right.
And he reads it 2 years later, and Price reads that and says, are you kidding me with this? We're still talking about this, Eck? I thought this thing was over. And you are Price. And you get the emotional reaction from Price. I don't really blame Price for being pissed about it. I don't. I'm sorry.
I mean, if the article was written alone and only on that, on the Bryce situation, I think then David's right. Got a bitch.
It's not. The story wasn't about that.
This is one of 10 different things.
How
do you not talk to Eck and ask him about it based on even what Eck said at Hall of Fame weekend, where I can't even go anywhere without anybody asking about this instead of a damn Gibson head?
But I have no issue with Price talking about it when he talked about it.
Don't elaborate.
What he said, though, was where he screwed up.
Yeah.
What he said, because based on that comment, which, again, had no context until after the fact, when you had Chad Finn and others come out, like Shaughnessy defending Eck, and Chad Finn defending Eck, like Eck needs any defending. I mean, my God, we've all defended him. The guy's had enough. He's got more people defending him than what he needs. No one thinks Eck was wrong in the start of all this. Nobody. When he said yuck about it was Erod's rehab start 2 years ago when he sucked at Pawtucket. He had a horrible start. He said yuck. No one thought Eck was wrong. Nobody. But it's ridiculous that 2 years later, this thing is still going on. It is. We can all agree on that. And so when Price reads it, like 2 years later, we're still doing this is what he might be thinking. And without knowing the tone of those comments, mm-hmm. and he's got Eck in the paper saying, I don't give a bleep. I don't know. I'm not all that mad about David Price having any sort of reaction to it and wanting to talk about it.
Why'd he hold court if court told him that they were
burying it? Well, this is where he screwed up, okay? So can we play the audio again? All right, here's the start of David Price. I'll tell you exactly where things went really bad for Price.
The fact that it was 2 years ago, over 2 years ago now, the fact that he wanted to move on, and since then he's went on the radio and talked about it. He's done it again. In 2017, I addressed it. Told you guys on front of the camera that I wish I'd have handled it differently. I did it again in 2018 in spring training on day one. Said the same thing. We had a meeting set up in 2017 here at the field. Got here early, an hour and a half, 2 hours after I get here. They come and tell me that he's not coming. You know, we had a meeting. He backed out. I was going to tell him. You know, I apologize. I didn't handle it the right way, and it continues to come up. There's no reason for it. I just think it's trash. You know, he had an unbelievable career, 25 seasons. He's a Hall of Famer. I saw his special on MLB Network. That was cool.
Stop right there. I saw a special on MLB Network. I thought it was cool. I learned a lot about him. I know a lot more about him now. And I think now that I do know more about him, I think he and I should get together because I think we can put this thing behind us. It's gone on too long. And that's all I'm going to say about it. This has gone on too long. Walk away. He buries him. David Price could look like the good guy here. David Price had an opportunity after Eckersley went in the newspaper saying, I don't give a bleep, to say, this has gone on too long. I can't believe we're still talking about this 2 years later. I still really want that meeting with Dennis Eckersley, and I hope he'll agree to meet with me soon.
It looks like he didn't even watch the documentary.
And you know what?
Somebody told him that Eck didn't even have any
And you know what David Price would look like?
He looks like a liar now.
He'd look like the guy who held all the cards that he claims to be.
Yep.
David Price could have been the guy who says, you know, I really hope Eck takes the meeting, man, because I'm still trying to get that meeting with him. I want to apologize to him because I've told you guys a number of times. I regret the way that I handled it. He claims in what we just heard that 1 minute, he said, I regret the way I handled it and I want to apologize. I tried to apologize. And what he should have said right there was, and I still want to apologize. And I know more about Eck now than I did then. And I hope he's still willing to maybe meet with me someday about it. And that's all I can really tell you guys.
That just went down a weird road, man.
And he would look like he owned Dennis Eckersley. He would have owned the guy. And it would be Eck whining in the newspaper and David Price taking the high road. And David Price would have owned Dennis Eckersley.
Looks like
and we'd all say, look at Price. Yeah. Good for him. Instead, He does this stupid thing.
You watched it.
One thing that definitely stood out to me, he had zero former teammates in that interview. Not one. Talking about him. It was him talking about himself.
Oh, he got bad info. Oh, did he get bad
Anybody
info?
Anybody ever does a special on me after baseball, I won't need to go on that interview.
David.
I will have former teammates. I will have former coaches. They can all vouch for me. He didn't have that.
Come on, dude.
He didn't have that.
Why do you do that to yourself?
It's over.
I feel bad. I do. I feel bad for Price. He can't help himself.
Can't.
Feel bad for him. Why'd you do that to yourself? Why can't you help yourself from saying those things, which are all factually incorrect?
Stuff doesn't fly.
There were half a dozen teammates in it. There was a manager in there. What? The guy who actually works for your team, Tony La Russa. He's right up the stairs. He's in the clubhouse every day.
Yeah.
Come on, dude. We want to like you. You were a World Series hero last year. You should have been the MVP. You're supposed to have all the cards now. What the hell?
You need to get some new cards.
Yes. You got dealt a bad hand.
Hold the wrong cards.
What the hell? You could have owned Eck, and we still would have liked Eck more than you, but that doesn't matter.
Hit me.
We could have at least enjoyed the story. You could have at least looked like a real adult for once. Instead, Eck looks like the better guy once again.
Yep.
And we all love Eck. We're not going to stop loving Eck, no matter what. And Eck hasn't really done anything wrong here. And Chad Finn has given it all kinds of context since, saying, I interviewed the guy for 3.5 hours and he spent 10 seconds talking about David Price. Not exactly something that's at the top of his mind. But he had the shot. He had the chance. He could have buried Eck. He could have said, I still want to meet with him. I still want to apologize. I know more about him now than I did then. I watched his documentary and he seems like a great guy who's overcome quite a bit. And we'd all say, wow. That's great. Look at David Price.
I got friends. That
guy's just really turned a corner, man. He's awesome.
My friends have my back, and I'll always have them, and I'll defend myself.
He's really grown up.
Yeah.
Instead, he didn't even watch the damn documentary. Couldn't even
that
be bothered.
Much is clear.
He couldn't even be bothered to watch it. In fact, Eck actually addressed the David Price thing in the documentary, did he not, McTakey?
Yes, he did. Basically, the end of the documentary, the final subject is on the Eckersley Price thing.
It couldn't have played out any worse for a player here. Could not have. He's dead now.
You tune out after 45 minutes. You catch that final
he's
segment
trying
there.
To bury another guy, and he buries him on his own self. We talked about this. I can't think of anything that's turned worse for a player after winning here.
I watched his documentary. No teammates. Nah, there were actually half a dozen dudes. He clearly didn't watch it. It's like
my question. Which player?
No, you didn't. You clearly read the Cliff Notes, Ace.
Here's my question from last week. Who gave him that info?
I don't know.
What player?
I don't know.
Was it Jackie Bradley
Jr.? Who was doing the viewing of the documentary that fed him that bad info?
Pedroia call him? Like from out in Arizona?
What the hell, guy? Come on. He blew it. You blew it. 617-779-0985. Who the hell's going to want to watch a David Price documentary down the road? You going to watch that?
Dog lovers.
I'm all set.
Hell no.
I'm all set with watching the David Price documentary. We're good with that. Get back to your calls next.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
A good lunch here today, so that you just enjoyed one of the good ones, Moody's Deli. Moody's Delicatessen in Back Room in Waltham. Moody'sWaltham.com is where you go to check them out online.
Moody's,
their award-winning delicatessen in Back Room has reopened with new management team, updated menu, and interior renovations. Their new menu not only focuses on the charcuterie and meat dishes.
Excuse me?
The charcuterie.
What's charcuterie?
What you just had, that plated meat.
Wow.
Out there.
So it's a, yeah. So it's like the sliced salami, the sausage, the spicy pickles, the onion. Oh, good stuff.
Yeah. Uncultured SOB.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's stuff they bring on, like, it's like a cheese board.
You could call it that.
Sliced meats.
Yeah.
That's
they got the new menu. They're not only focusing on that, the meat dishes that they were known for, but it's been enhanced to also include a variety of salads, pastas, flatbreads, grilled seafoods, and vegetable dishes. 468 Moody Street in Waltham and online moodieswaltham.com. Yeah. Thank you.
That's a focaccia bread. I think that's like that special type of bread.
And Zoe said it's some of the best potato chips he's ever had.
Homemade.
Unreal. Oh, homemade chips. So good.
There you go. Meats.
I've eaten chips.
Those You've eaten chips. Chips.
Those are good chips.
That what it looks like? Pictures of meat.
I'd say that's it.
Yep. Meat.
Right there.
Yep. 617-779-0985. Dylan's in Dedham. Dylan.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
How Thanks you doing?
For my call. Good, good. Have you guys been watching the past few Sox broadcasts on television at all?
I have.
Wouldn't you say it is so refreshing to not listen to Eck blabber through the game?
Disagree
Wouldn't
strongly.
You agree with that?
I miss Eck. I love Eck.
Really?
I can't get
really?
Enough of Eck. Big fan.
Okay. Okay, well.
Who would you have? Who would you rather
so
have?
Nice. Oh, Remdog. Remdog and Dave. So nice.
Well, the best is when they have Remy, Eck,
big games.
And
yeah.
Dave, when they have all three of them in there at the same time.
Yep.
Well, then it just turns into a pissing contest with Eck trying to talk about how, you know, blah, 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 I was the greatest. But that brings me to my point, which is I know I'm probably outranked on this one, but I'm on Team Price in terms of the controversy.
Yeah, I'd say you're in the minority on that one.
Yeah, I understand that, but I think Eck is just a queen and a diva, and he wants the spotlight, and he's doing everything he can to stay in it. I'll leave you guys with that. But
I'll tell you this, though. Dylan, if you're on that side, this is what you should be pounding the table on right now.
Your guy blew it.
Let me give you your... No. That is my thing, though.
Yeah.
Price blew it. But this is what you should want to know. If you are Team Price in all of this, why didn't Eckersley want the meeting? Why didn't Eckersley want to meet with them in 2017? I've given you your argument, okay? I've heard some rumors as to why he didn't want the meeting, but I'm not a reporter. I don't know for sure.
Right.
I've only heard those rumors from the reporters. I don't know.
Somebody emailed me last week close to the situation, said that it was set up, and the player continued to chirp, chirp, chirp.
Yes, that's
privately
put out
behind
there.
It, and
right.
It pissed out. That's X said F. I don't even want to see him.
And that it was, you know, supposedly going to be a phony apology. It was going to be very staged and phony, and what's the
point? The word that was taken was the word from Price's tweet that he put out last week. What, like, that situation was also going to be lit that day. L-I-T.
L-I-T.
Yeah. Like, he was going to put him in a body bag or something. So.
Body? What?
Not body bag. You know, get the body bag out.
Let's not get any body bags out.
Yeah.
Let's not do that. Please, no body bags. Kirk and Methuen. Kirk.
Yes, hey, I just want to say I completely agree with the last caller. I think Eck is the one who's the diva, so I guess me, the last caller, and the minority. If you look at it, when that incident happened, everyone on the Red Sox plane, including Dustin Pedroia, was cheering Price. So if everyone has an issue with Price, they have an issue with Pedroia and everyone else on the Red Sox. As far as defending Eck, look, I'm a former veteran, and I'll tell you, the one thing we know, the one thing that separates the American military part from other militaries is that we defend the weak. And all these people that are coming up defending Eck, it's, the reason why they're doing it is because Eck, I know like you like him, but he comes off as weak. Look, just man up, have a meeting with them, bury the hatchet, and move on. The fact that he didn't take the meeting is why this is dragging on. So that's all I have to say.
What the hell?
I have nothing to add to that call.
The hell was that?
Nothing. Not anything at all. Tim and Douglas with a possible trade for the Red Sox. Tim.
Hey, good morning, guys. Instead of Abreu, I was going to go with Eloy Jimenez and pitching prospects. It addresses the outfield issue of moving bets, and you still can bolster your pitching rotation.
You like this idea, McTaggy?
Yeah, I love the idea of getting Eloy Jimenez. Why would the White Sox trade him? That's your building block. That's the future of your franchise for the next 6 to 10 years.
Isn't it always great how these trades come up around the deadline?
Oh, yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, you know what? I think I'll just take the good young players off the other team instead of the expiring veteran contracts.
Correct.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, sure, that'd be nice. It'd be great. In your weird world where those things happen, but they don't happen in the real world.
It's always unbelievable how that goes down. Yeah, no, totally. It's totally the way to go. Yep. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll continue with some of your baseball thoughts throughout the day on the Red Sox and where they stand. We'll get back into the Patriots. Are they better or worse from where they were in February? We'll do that in 90 seconds after these headlines.
Face it, winter can wreak havoc on your parking lot. And the last thing your customers need is to dodge potholes, which might make them dodge your business altogether. Make sure they don't have bumps on the way to your door by calling U.S. Pavement. 1-800-PAVEMENT. Let U.S. Pavement smooth the road to your door. U.S. Pavement has paved the way for successful businesses all over New England since 1985. Call now and a member of their expert team will evaluate your site and give you a price that won't leave a hole in your budget. Call U.S. Pavement at 1-800-PAVEMENT or visit uspavement.com.